Everybody, and welcome to Linux in the Ham Shack. My name is Richard, KB5JBV, and I am your host. I'm here with my co-host, Russ, K5TUX. Haha, I said it right that time. Tuxin.
No, you didn't. You going to start over?
No.
Okay. So,
Russian.
All right. Well, let me jump in then. I'm Russ, co-host of Linux in the Ham Shack, and welcome from me, my call sign's K5TUX. And I'll let you go ahead and finish what you were going to say.
Well, I was just going to say, Russ is not from Texas, but you might think so, even though his call is spelt funny. He's up there in Missouri, and I'm down here outside of Dallas, and we are going to do our best to bring y'all a program on Linux where it falls into the genre of amateur radio. There's a lot of folks moving over to Linux because hams are cheap. Well, not necessarily cheap, but we are frugal and we try and get the most out of our equipment that we can. And since computers moved into the ham shack, and I remember when they first did, it's been more and more expensive to keep a current state-of-the-art machine going on in the shack. Enter Linux. You can run older equipment on the Linux operating system with very little fuss and very little muss. You can pick up this kind of equipment extremely inexpensively on eBay and that kind of stuff. And we know that we want to run our older machines as long as we can because it sure does cost a lot to replace them. Plus, it's really difficult to have your amateur radio stuff on a machine and your home office, word processing, iTunes, and everything else on the machine at the same time, because if one or the other messes up, you either lose your logs or you lose that piece of paperwork you need for the office.
Well, I definitely think you're right on that. I have my shack, definitely I have to keep separate my work business machines, even my play machines, from my amateur radio machine. And not only is it separate in a in a mental sense, it's separate in a physical sense. It actually sits on the other side of the room, so I know it's part of the shack. It sort of completes a shack now. I don't think you'll see a picture of one these days that doesn't contain at least one or two computers. I mean, with the various digital modes, actually the first thing I used one for was decoding Morse code. Back when I got lazy and didn't feel like trying to figure it out for myself anymore, always a good thing to use it for. So I'm not sure if I was actually answering the question or not, but I'll send it back to you.
Well, I mean, that's definitely it, because the first computer I remember having in the radio shack, in fact, first two or three years I was licensed, there was not a computer in the radio room. And the first one I remember using on the air was a Commodore 64 running Packet and RIDI, believe it or not, they had a little card that plugged into the back of the Commodore 64 that had a program on it, and you could run Packet or RIDI using that program. I probably need to expand upon that. Back in the late 80s, I ran bulletin board systems on the phone and all this other stuff. I've kind of gotten behind on the computer thing. That's why Russ is here, y'all, to pull me out of the fire when I get crossways on the computer thing. Plus, he knows how to do sound, and I'm not so great. But I moved over to Packet, and then since then, I've had Packet BBSs. My father and I were the hubs for DFW for the international packet radio system that was going on for a while, the bulletin boards, forwarding messages, and all that good stuff. I've run a NTS BBS, and not too long ago I was still running a Winlink 2000 board here in the Dallas area. So I've been in and around them myself, but I'll tell you, my first radio room consisted of me sitting in the laundry room with a Kenwood TS-130. So I've been around. It's just all this technology, I don't know nothing about it. What's been your experience with the computers, Russ?
I'm going to sort of dismiss my experience pre-Unix systems just because it's not really relevant. But I got introduced to Unix in college back in 1987. Got on the school's mainframe and sort of got hooked on it. Didn't actually get into Linux itself until 1994, back when Red Hat was still free and Slackware was still used by more than 17 people. And that's where I've found that I can do more with it, both personally and professionally, than with anything else. And of course, it's hard to beat the free as in price and free as in beer, or however that saying goes. So, you know, starting in 1994, things started to take off for me. That was back in the Red Hat 4 days, and sort of stuck around with that for quite a while, until Debian came out. And sort of, you know, the thing that sort of made Debian the favorite for, you know, lots of people was its package manager. Red Hat didn't, you know, it had RPM, but it didn't have offsite repositories and easy ways to make it accessible to the average user. And, you know, Debian came along and sort of did that, you know, took its place. And I've sort of gone that way ever since. And I think one of the things we were going to mention about this is that we were going to sort of be Debian distribution centric, for a couple of reasons. One, because it's a popular distribution. I like it because it's completely faithful to the licensing. You know, it's everything under Debian is open source. And of course, by Debian, we're talking about anything that's based on it, including Ubuntu and similar things. And another reason why we're talking about or thinking about going with it, at least in terms of the scope of this podcast, is because it still contains a repository of amateur radio software, which makes it easier to acquire and use the software. Whereas if you're using some other distribution, you might actually have to do some extra work to go and find it, get it installed, get it running, and so forth.
I'm glad. I want all of y'all to know that Russ has the philosophy down. He believes in open source. I, on the other hand, am a cheapskate. I am a true amateur radio operator, and I'm cheap. So I like to run this old cheap equipment on an outstanding operating system that I can get without paying $200 to support some guy in Redmond. However, Russ is correct. We've done some checking, and the only repositories that I can find any amateur radio software in still is in the Debian-based repositories. Now, like we said, there's Debian, Ubuntu, Linux Mint. There's a whole bunch of variations on Debian out there for different people. The number one at this time, I think, on the Debian end of it is Ubuntu. They are really making great strides, and there's a lot of people able to convert over to it from Windows and even the Mac OS without a lot of hassle. But as the show progresses, we're going to have to start out with some basic stuff. We're going to let y'all or talk to y'all about the Linux operating system, package managers. We're going to get y'all up to speed on this basic stuff. And then we'll move on into the amateur radio stuff, because yes, there is plenty of stuff in the repositories. There's DX cluster programs, there's PSK programs, there's even a logbook of the world program in the repositories. But at some point, you may have to go find a program which is not necessarily in the repositories, and we're going to do our best to arm y'all with the information so that if you have to go out and find it, you'll be able to bring it on in. And since one Linux is all Linuxes, pretty much, it's all pretty much basically the same underneath the hood, then even if you decide not to go with a Debian-based distribution, you'll be able to use the information you pick up here to get yourself up and running on Fedora, CentOS, some of the other operating systems. Even the BSDs. I know quite a few guys out there that are running BSDs, and they're not so totally different that we won't be able to help you, or at least give you information that you can use on the BSDs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I do want to bring up something that I'm sure now, you know, for people who are sort of just jumping into Linux, this isn't going to mean anything to them. But for somebody who may be a little bit further along and maybe someone who is listening to this and is kind of a purist on the matter is going to realize that when we talk about Linux, we're not actually talking about software. Linux is the operating system, and the software is GNU software, specifically software that conforms to specific open source licensing. And so for those people out there, I just want them to understand that we actually do understand that we're talking about two different things here, Linux and the software that runs on it. For those people who are new to Linux, that's not going to mean anything really. But as well as trying to get everybody up to speed on the operating system itself, I think we'll try and give a good overview of the software, including the sort of thought processes and the methodology behind the software, and then a good foundation in where to get the software, how to install it, good ways to tweak it to make it do what you want, and so forth. And if nothing else, get people away from Windows wherever possible. And I'm not a person who says that you can't do anything with Windows. I mean, it has its place just like everything. But you can certainly do as much with Linux as you can with Windows. And I would like to address the comment about ham radio operators being cheap. I don't think it's really cheap. I think they sort of revel in the idea of being able to make the most out of the least. That's not necessarily a concept that makes them cheap. That makes them frugal and savvy, I would think is a better word.
Well, that you're right on that, and that's what I was saying earlier. There's a lot of frugal hams out there. I, on the other hand, am cheap. But another thing I need to bring up before we get too far past this is that, yes, we will be talking about open source software, and that encompasses a lot of stuff and not necessarily Linux. And in the future, we will be talking about stuff that is not necessarily Linux specific. If any of you have ever used Mozilla Firefox or Thunderbird email client, that is open source software. So you guys have already moved into that. There's a lot of other things out there, and those are probably the two most popular ones I can think of. And in fact, this particular program that we're using as far as recording is called Audacity, which is also an open source program. It is available and will run on Windows and Linux and possibly even the Mac OS. I'm not real sure. I don't mess with Macs.
I will jump in here and say, yes, there is a Mac OS version for it, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of leave that to Gene Steinberg out there in Arizona. He's the Mac guy, and I try not to get in his way. He's one of those hardcore Mac guys, so I just let him have it. Also, I'm afraid of him. And the whole point is we're going to do our best to get y'all up to speed. We've had a lot of calls for a program like this, or at least I've had a lot of calls for a program like this. Those of y'all who listen to my other podcast, Resonant Frequency, the Amateur Radio Podcast, you know that I do not only talk to people about stuff that runs under Windows, but also stuff that runs on the Linux operating system. I myself have at least three machines that run Linux here, and I'm not one of those it's Linux or it ain't nothing, because I do have a couple of Windows machines here simply because of things that I do that I have to have the Windows machines for. But I've also found that there's not a whole lot I can't do with the Linux except possibly sync my iPod, and that's coming along. That's really coming along. It's getting better and better all the time. Russ, do you have an iPod?
Do I have an iPod? I have four iPods, actually. Yes, I do have iPods. Now, I'm still using Windows to sync those things up, so that's a whole other thing. Now, I've actually started experimenting with some other audio programs under Linux to deal with my iPod, but I haven't quite made that switch yet.
Well, that's the deal. I have three myself. I'm iPod poor over here. Got one for Father's Day. Had one give to me because my parents got it free for booking a passage on a ship to the Caribbean. And then my father bought my mother one to watch movies on and forgot that she really can't see to walk straight. So that didn't work out for her either, and ended up with that one. Well, that was off topic. Let's see if we can
work our way back around.
Well, talking about iPods in a podcast, I wouldn't call it too off topic. I mean, it was sort of the progenitor of the whole species of, you know, broadcasting. So it's pretty relevant.
And I want all of you to know out there that the folks over at Apple have saved me from the penitentiary, because if I wasn't able to podcast, I would probably have a clandestine radio FM radio station, and y'all would be listening to me from probably Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. So I think we're in good shape here. But basically, what we're going to do, kids, is we're going to – well, this is the introduction. Over the next couple episodes, like I said, we're going to get into what distributions are what a repository is, get y'all up to speed on the basic use of this stuff, where to get the software. It's my understanding that you can buy free software now at the Best Buy, but I know the next few episodes, we're going to be able to get into that wonderful, wonderful subject of PSK31, because I know everybody wants to do that, and that is probably the first and simplest thing to get going on the Linux operating system. Well, DX cluster is pretty easy, but you can pick that up off the internet until we can get it squared away the other direction. How long we been running, Russ?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, because we didn't start at the beginning. I think we've gone about 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's good, because what we need to do is we need to, at the very least, let these folks know how they can get a hold of us. I myself can be reached at kb5jbv@blacksparrowmedia.com. kb5jbv@blacksparrowmedia.com. And anything that shows up as far as resonant frequency, the amateur radio podcast, will probably lead you to some place where you can find a link to send me an email. If you have any questions, suggestions, hate mail, well, my haters out there, y'all know where to find me. And Russ, what email are you using?
Well, I think I'm going to use the one that's relevant to the show, which would be k5tux@blacksparrowmedia.com as well. That will find me wherever I happen to be. So I think that should work, and I'm sure it'll be prominently displayed on the blacksparrowmedia.com site. So hopefully any comments, questions, and hate mail that you don't want to direct to Richard, you can certainly send to me, and I'll forward it right back to him. So that'll be good.
You can't have my haters, Russ. You can't have my haters.
No, I'm hoping for a whole new class of haters, you know.
Get your own haters. But I'll tell you, I had something on my mind that slipped right off. Of course, y'all that listen to me regularly, y'all know this. Unfortunately, I don't have two segments to let roll while I try and remember what it was. But it'll come back in a minute. But yeah, kb5jbv@blacksparrowmedia.com, k5tux@blacksparrowmedia.com. And there I go clicking that pen again. I'm going to get email over that.
You've got to get your good 30 seconds in about clicking the pen every podcast. I think it's definitely, you know, it's you. We wouldn't know if it weren't for that. So,
well, that's a recent development. I'm not sure where that came from. I don't know. I need Valium. Oh, wait a minute. This is a family show.
And I will say that I know this is the first, this is only the first episode, and we're probably not going to have a huge listenership or anything like that. Although I could be wrong. And if you want to prove me wrong, you know, by all means, go for it. But podcasts and things like that are definitely feedback driven, as far as I'm, you know, have been aware. And so, you know, please, you know, anything you want to say about this or about things that are coming up in the future, you know, do. Because it will certainly steer us and guide us and point us to sort of talk about the things that need to be talked about, rather than just having us go, you know, where we want to go. And I think between the two of us, we can probably ramble quite a bit.
Oh, I can ramble. I can ramble forever. That's exactly what resonant frequency is me sitting around rambling. You know, that right there is a coffee. Hanging out with the guys at coffee, talking radios.
Well, I'm not saying a little bit of rambling's not good. I mean, we, you know, have to have some kind of fun content in there and everything, but it would be nice to sort of come back around to the topic every 10 minutes or so.
Exactly. Well, what I was going to say was, this is going to be more like the presentation at a club meeting. Well, I can't say that because I've been to some club meetings that were pretty stiff. But that's okay because Russ saved me, and I remembered what it is now. K5TUX at blacksparrowmedia.com. KB5JBV at blacksparrowmedia.com. Y'all don't forget to come to the site and check out the forums at blacksparrowmedia.com. Just look over in the main menu, click on forums, go on in. We're currently adding sections for several podcasts over at this time, and there's only a couple in there for Linux and Ham Shack, but as y'all show us a need to add more boards, we'll go ahead and add them. I ain't got a problem with that at all. We're not going to gouge y'all for money on this podcast. That comes along in probably episode 6.
Yeah. Well, might have to make it episode 5 so people don't tune out too early.
Well, all right. I think we pretty much got that covered. Once again, I want to say thank y'all for downloading this, and I hope we haven't turned you off, and you hang around long enough for us to show you this operating system. For those that haven't been using it, I tell you what, more than anything else, if I can turn my computer on and use it a minute after I hit the power button, I am extremely happy, and I never, ever had that experience with Windows. I can't recall ever even having it, and I started on Windows with Windows 2 and cannot remember a time that I could hit the button and be ready to go in a minute. But other than that, I'm pretty much done for this week. How about you, Russ?
Pretty much, although I will say that my experience with Windows has sort of been a little bit different. Usually I can use it within a minute of installing it, but I can't use it about 5 minutes after that. See, at least Linux tends to run for a good long span of time in between issues. You know, that's been my experience, and I think I'm ready to wind it up here. So I guess we are going to sign off, and I'm going to let you take care of that for this week, and I might pick up duties since you've got a little more experience in this than me. So let's wind it up for now.
Well, that works for me. Well, from an undisclosed location outside of Dallas, Texas. No, I ain't going to say that. from Balch Springs, Texas, just outside of Dallas, this is KB5JBV. And from up in an undisclosed location in Missouri, you in Missouri or Arkansas tonight?
Well, I'm actually in Arkansas tonight. And most likely, if we're going to be recording this on Wednesday night, which is when we're doing this now, I will be in Arkansas. So from an undisclosed location deep in the Ozark Mountains of northern Arkansas, this is K5TUX.
Well, there you go. Y'all have a great couple weeks. We will be back with episode 2. Y'all make sure you download us and check it out. I promise we'll be more coherent.
And I just wanted to make sure before we sign off here that I give a shout out to Lonesome Dave of Gamma Leonis for the excellent intro and outro music for our podcast. And if you want to hear more music by him, you can check him out at www.gammaleonis.com. That's GAMMALEONIS. So thanks a lot, Dave, and thank you, Richard, and we'll catch you next time. Have a good one.
See y'all next time.